It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 80 of the Taking Notes Podcast for Wednesday, March 12th, 2008. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
Julian Robichaud. Boy, if you people ever heard the outtakes from some of the stuff that doesn't make it onto our podcast, we'd be in big trouble, I would say.
Really? Man, you think the podcasts are bad.
Yeah. But maybe one day we'll put them out there as a special mix, maybe for Lotus Fear Idol next year or something like that. But, Julian, today we had the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Adam Gartenberg, who is the product offering manager for IBM Lotus Same Time. And I think you know that already because you were on the call, right?
I know that. Well, I've met Adam a couple of times. The last two Lotus Spheres, he's a super nice guy.
Very, very nice guy. In fact, he's appeared on the podcast, which we do talk about, I think, on the podcast before. Episode 60 he was on. And what did we talk about on this episode of the podcast, Mr. Robichaud?
Same time. There, man, that is just a big, broad space. And admittedly, going into this, I don't know that much about Same Time. I'm just not, you know, conversant in same time technology and things like that, and he just kept going off in all these different directions. There are so many things that team is working on right now. It's frankly just kind of amazing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's just not chat anymore. Not that same time's really ever been just about chat, but just the whole space, the unified communication space in general. And you'll hear some of the things we talk about. This large amount of money that IBM is going to be investing in the UC squared space, the unified communication space. And Adam shares that with us all. We also talk about the bleed yellow IM, the IM bleed yellow site, which is a Lotus community site, same time site. So we'll talk about it. And if you're not on im.bleedyellow.com, you probably will be by the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
All right, so let's let him have it. All right?
All right, man.
All right, thanks, everyone. Episode 80. Here you go. On the line today, we have Adam Gartenberg, the product offering manager for IBM Lotus Same Time. Adam, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here. It's definitely been too long since I've had a chance to come back and talk to you guys, so glad to have a chance to do it again.
Yeah, 20 episodes ago. So what's that, Julian?
That is that was close to 1973, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
75 web years or something like that.
So yes, yeah.
Adam, a lot's happened over the last year since we last talked about Same Time 751 in the unified communication space, and I guess that's why we have you on the show today, right?
Yeah, well, certainly a lot has happened. We came out with Same Time 8 at the end of last year, and actually two new versions, Same Time Entry 8 and Same Time Standard 8. So it started to divide things out there. And we had a really good Lotusphere where we were able to share some of the things that we've been working on and some of the things coming out soon, including Lotus Same Time Advanced, which should be out at the end of this month.
Okay, before we dig into Same Time Advanced, can you review for us the other two offerings that are currently available?
Sure. So Same Time Standard is pretty much the new name for what up to now has been called Lotus Same Time. But because we're expanding it into a product family, we needed something to call just plain old Same Time. So that's Same Time Standard. That has everything in it that Same Time had in the past. And so we didn't take anything away. I had people coming to me asking, okay, well, you're renaming it. Does that mean we have to pay again for functionality we had already, or we're losing functionality? And no, nothing's gone away. It's just a new name for Same Time Standard. But we also saw an opportunity out in the marketplace for an offering that's called Same Time Entry. And basically, we've gone and entitled Lotus Notes customers to a core set of IM capabilities that they can use inside of Notes and comes as part of the Notes license. Microsoft Outlook customers and Exchange customers, however, aren't entitled to anything. any of these capabilities from Microsoft. And so we wanted to come out with an offering that would provide a very affordable price point for people to get started with IAM capabilities. So all the folks out there using Microsoft Outlook and Exchange and are looking to get started with instant messaging, you get the market-leading enterprise IAM solution. It's encrypted, it's authenticated, you get the business cards, you get the chat history and spell check and emoticons and all of those things. And again, a very affordable price point. It's priced at, the list price is $20 US. So really easy way to get started. Don't know how many Microsoft customers we have out, Microsoft users we have listening out to the Taking Notes podcast, but if you're out there or you have friends who are complaining about not having instant messaging at work, this is a solution for them.
Now, is that $20 per user and the server is free?
That's correct. Yeah, we don't, for any of the same time versions, we don't have a separate server charge, so you're just paying for the user licenses.
Wow, and if you wanted to... And if you wanted to be really free, I guess you could install it on Linux, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we run on Linux. We run on Red Hat and SUSE Linux, and as well as a bunch of other platforms as well.
Right. Wow. And then, so Same Time Advanced is coming out at the end of this month. Now, how is that going to be different?
So Same Time Advanced delivers everything that we have in Same Time Standard today and adds on a couple of new capabilities really focused around real-time community collaboration. So it'll include persistent group chat rooms. So it allows you to have a group chat conversation and keep it going over time zones, or you can leave your PC and come back and get caught up on all the conversation that you missed, even if you were offline, as well as some things to make it really usable for business. So being able to set alerts and subscribe to things, and very cool capability. You can actually get at this either from the Same Time client, in which case it looks pretty much just like the Same Time IM chat conversation, the same UI that people are used to in their client, or you can get at it from a browser. So we've had a lot of requests for people looking to be able to come into these chat rooms without having a client installed on the PC at all. So you can actually go right from the browser and get in and get in the chat room. And again, it looks pretty much like a Same Time chat window, except you look up at the top and there's a browser bar instead of a Same Time menu bar. So very cool capabilities there. And when you actually think about it, and what came with the start of the internet, before the internet, really, you had bulletin boards and message boards, and then you had things like Prodigy and CompuServe and AOL, where chat rooms were really a killer app of those programs early on, and I think to a large extent still are. This is bringing that same technology, or it's the same, meeting those same needs inside an enterprise environment. So that's one piece of it. Another piece is the some things we're calling broadcast tools. And this allows you to join a community of interest or experts and then pose questions or polls or start a group conversation with people in that community. So I think the best way to describe this is by example. So I might belong to a BlackBerry community because I use a BlackBerry. I might belong to a Same Time community because I work on Same Time, or a marketing community because I do marketing. And I might subscribe as part of the downhill skiing community because I like downhill skiing. And so if I've got a question or someone else has a question on one of these areas, I can just send it out to that community and get an answer in real time. So let's say, actually a real world example happened to my colleague David Marshak. Got up one morning and his BlackBerry wasn't receiving mail. Now he could have gone and called help desk and sat on hold for 10 minutes and hoped they had an answer for him, or more likely would have had to have them call back as they looked into it. Instead, he sent out a request live to this BlackBerry community, again, just average IBMers who use BlackBerries. And within 30 seconds, someone wrote back and said, oh, if they upgraded your mail server last night, you have to go here and change the setting and it'll start working again. And so again, just a matter of minutes or so, he had his answer, was able to get on with his day, didn't take up his time sitting on hold, didn't use up help desk resources, trying to find the answer for him. Again, getting answers in real time. But even better, he could have gone, and now that he had the answer, and add that to an FAQ that's centrally stored as part of the Same Time Advanced server, so that he could go, and if someone else came up, had this problem, they could go and search that FAQ and not even have to ask the question live. They could go and see the answer. So if it had been noon instead of 9 in the morning, he might have said, you know what, someone's probably asked this question already and could have just gone and searched the FAQ and found the answer there. So very cool capabilities there. This is stuff that we've been using inside IBM for a while now, and very positive results in terms of helping people connect with each other, find the answers they need. We actually had a research team go out and did the advantage of technology like this coming from research. They actually did research on its usage and how it was used and found it very helpful. They found that people that were posing questions live had you know, a large percent, I want to say 70 or 80%, had actually gone out and tried to find the information by other means first before posing a question live. So these are questions that they probably wouldn't have been able to answer or find an answer to had they not had this technology. So very cool that we're able to bring that to market now. And then two more pieces. One of them is Instant Share, which I use every day now. So SameTime has always had the ability to start an instant web conference. So I can be in a chat with someone or just from my SameTime client, I can start up a web conference without having to go and schedule it first. But it's, while quick, it's still, you know, we're still talking a couple minutes to, by the time it gets completely set up and people get the request on the other side and they join the meeting. And, you know, it's not quite instantaneous. And so what we're coming out with as part of SameTime Advanced really is Instant Share. I click a button in my chat window, and within just a couple seconds, I've got a screen sharing session started up between me and the person I'm chatting with. It's still going through the SameTime server, but we've really optimized it to just start up that sharing session. And so I'm in the SameTime chat with someone, I'm on the phone with them, or even in a meeting sometimes where we didn't set up a web conference before. And I literally find myself saying, you know what, let me just show you what I'm looking at. And so in the past, you know, I'm working on a presentation with someone, I'm updating bullets, I'm sitting here reading off, okay, I just changed the third bullet, the second word from and to with. Or I'm working on a spreadsheet with someone and they're saying, okay, you know, you're trying to follow along as they tell you, okay, change C12 to 100. Now change C19 to be, you know, change the formula there to change the total. And, you know, you're trying to follow along or you're stuck there saving the file, sticking the email, replicating, downloading it, saving it, opening it back up again, at which point they've had more changes. Instead, I can just say, again, it sounds corny, but I say, you know what, let me show you what I'm looking at. And I click on the button and I'm sharing my screen, and now they can see the spreadsheet live as I update the numbers. They can follow along as I'm changing the bullets on that presentation. I can pass control off to them if they want to make edits themselves. So very cool capabilities there. I keep using the word cool a lot, but it is.
That's okay.
And the last piece are advanced location services. So SameTime Standard comes with geographic location capabilities. And it will remember where I've been. So, you know, if I'm in my home office or my work office, it'll recognize those locations for me and auto-fill them in. With SameTime Advanced, it's a centralized location server that will record the locations and the locations that anyone in the company has been. So pretty much today we're running this inside IBM. If I go to any IBM office, or pretty much at this point any IBM-approved hotel on our approved travel list, someone else from IBM has been there, signed on to SameTime, set that location. So I go, you know, I'm in the Hilton in San Francisco. I turn on SameTime. It'll come up and it'll know that I'm in the Hilton in San Francisco because someone else has been there already. So that's what SameTime Advanced adds in terms of location capabilities. And then it will also come with APIs pretty much across the board for all of these things. So it can be customized or enhanced, or, you know, would be opening up to do things like embedding, hooking in GPS systems or cell location systems or things like that as a way of enhancing the capabilities in SameTime Advanced.
Now, in terms of APIs and extensibility, what is your favorite plugin?
My favorite plugin? Well, I was up to now, some of them have been the things that are coming out in advance, like Instant Share plugin. Other things I use on a regular basis, I use the Quick Response plugin, which I think we actually ship as part of in SameTime 8. I think we actually shipped that. I can't remember. It's definitely in the SDK though, if we didn't end up shipping it. And that's when I highly recommend people go and find. I think we have it out there on the SameTime in the sandbox, the SameTime code exchange. We have it out there. That's when I use a lot. I can record things like, you know, my phone number is, or I'm on the phone, I'll ping you when I'm done. We have another one that was developed inside IBM called Places, which goes out and someone, I think, in our services team or one of our developers built this out. and it goes and basically does a query of Google maps in your area and pulls it into a drop-down list. So it knows I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to bring up as sections, expandable sections for local restaurants, local hotels, local gas stations, local entertainment sites and things like that. So that, again, I'm on the road in San Francisco, I can open it up and find local places of interest, which is mostly what I used it for. I was actually talking to one of my coworkers who works up in Cambridge, and she says she uses it all the time just for looking up phone numbers, because even though it's restaurants she knows of and goes to all the time, it's quicker to just click on that little restaurant tab and expand it and find the phone number for the local restaurant than it is to go look it up or go look it up in her phone book. So that's one of the ones we use a lot. And then the Quikr plugin is the other one I use a lot too.
Yeah. Now, what do you wish there would be a plugin for, but there's not one?
Oh,
good developer opportunity.
Sneaky question.
That is a good question. I want a Twitter plugin. I use BeTwittered in.
I second that.
I use BeTwittered in the notes sidebar. The one thing we don't have now that we're trying to see where we can work it into the product plans is the Google Gadget plugin that we have in Notes 801 now. I want to try to get that for same time. So we're trying to see how we can work that into the product plans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd love a Twitter plugin for same time.
Yeah. Oh man, if you could do some kind of widget sort of thing for same time, man, widgets are fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because they're so easy.
Yep. So that's what I'd like to see happen. Can't promise it yet, but I'd love to see that happen.
Adam, we would too.
Sorry, Mr. Robichaud.
Sorry, man.
Adam, just a couple things here. Did we skip over one of the same time offerings? I know we mentioned the one you talked about first.
We talked about entry. We talked about standard. We talked about advanced.
Okay,
we haven't
perfect.
Talked about unified telephony yet.
Right. Let's before we go on a unified telephony, let's just talk about people who are running, you know, Notes and Domino for same time advanced. Will they be required to run the same time client in order to take advantage of all that stuff, or will it be something that'll be integrated into the standard same time integration and the Notes client?
It is something that will be able to be worked into the Notes client. Right now we're optimizing it for the standalone same time client, so I don't know that it will run inside Notes the day it ships, but it will be very shortly thereafter if it's not day one.
Okay.
But that is the goal, is that for folks running in Notes, because we know a very, very high percentage of our same time customers are actually running the embedded client for at least some, if not all, of their users. And so we want to, just like if you have a same time standard license, you can turn on the full same time capabilities inside Notes. We want to make sure that if you have a same time advanced license, you're able to get at the advanced capabilities from inside the Notes UI as well.
Mm-hmm. The other question I had that I wrote down when you were talking, didn't it, like same time version 1.5 have the ability to do like instant type meetings?
I think it started back then, and it's still available today to do instant meetings. So I can start up a web conference right from my chat client.
Right.
So I can be in a chat with you, and I can escalate that to a web conference. So that's something that is available, that continues to be available.
So the InstaShare is just, it's not part of the same time entry and same time, what was the second one? I'm sorry.
Standard.
So it's
right.
Not.
Right. So from same time standard, you can still do the traditional start up an instant meeting. With same time advanced, you have the instant share capability, and it really is, I keep saying it's instant, but it really is different than starting up an instant meeting in terms of how easy it is to use and to work with.
Okay.
And I believe we have it out on the Greenhouse server. So we're actually running beta code. We haven't talked about the Lotus Greenhouse yet. I'm guessing you've covered it in other previous podcasts, I'm guessing.
Actually, we're going to have Mac Wadera on sometime in April to talk about Lotus Greenhouse.
It's been a while. We haven't talked about it, I don't think, since they upgraded and made it pretty public.
So we're actually running, we have beta code right now of Same Time Advanced out on the Greenhouse server. So if you go to greenhouse.lotus.com, you can register for an ID. They've actually opened up registration, so you can self-register now. And you can download a Same Time 8 client complete with the Same Time Advanced beta plugins in it and run it against a Sametime Advanced Beta server that they have on the Greenhouse site. So you can actually try this out yourselves just make sure, I think I may prompt you for it automatically, make sure you install it in a separate directory from your Sametime 7.5.1 directory. We don't want you necessarily uninstalling Sametime 7.5.1 for this because it's beta code, but actually the 8 client is GA, the advanced stuff is beta code, but still you should be running what your company has. But you can install it and try it out yourself. I've actually set up a persistent chat room creatively called Adam's Demo Chat Room. So you can definitely stop by there and say hi to me. I try to stay signed on there much, if not all of the time, time zones permitting. And you can try out Instant Share. You can try out the broadcast tools from there as well. Or just even without downloading the client, you can still get into the persistent chat room. If you go to the Greenhouse server and sign up for an ID, you can navigate from there to the Sametime Advanced web the Sametime Advanced website and get into the team room, the persistent chat room from a browser. I've had a lot of people. I blogged about it a couple of weeks ago and I had a number of people stop in to say hi through there. So I would certainly encourage people to try it out themselves.
Now, how interoperable are the clients and the servers since you have all these different versions of Sametime and it sounds like there are at least slightly different versions of the clients as well? How does that work? Go ahead.
We're backward compatible from a client standpoint. I know we're definitely compatible back to all the supported clients, and so Sametime, which I think we've announced end of support for Sametime 6.5.1, but I don't think we've hit the date yet for it. And you can probably go back even further in terms of the backwards compatibility, both from a client standpoint and from a server standpoint. So I can run an 8 client against an older server, or I can run an older client against a Sametime 8 server. Some of these new capabilities, of course, do need the newest clients. So the Sametime Advanced, the new capabilities being introduced with Sametime Advanced will require a Sametime 8 client to run against. And I believe a Sametime 8 server as well.
All right, but if I went to Greenhouse and downloaded the biggest, baddest Sametime 8 Advanced client, and at work I'm still on Sametime 7.5, that would be okay?
You can do that.
Okay, cool. Cool, man.
Yeah, at work in your home office, Julian.
At work. We've all got an office. Let's see. Well, there's a lot. There's so much other stuff. We have this huge list, and I think we're still on bullet point number one right now. Let's see. Okay. This week, there was a UC Squared, so Unified Communications event with Steve Mills. What was that all about?
We had a press and analyst day for press and analysts to come in and allow us to talk to them about some of the things that have been going on with us and in the unified communication space. I think the big news and headline that came out of that was that we're investing $1 billion, with a B, over the next 3 years in the unified communication space across IBM. And I think that really gives us the indication of our commitment to the space and our belief in the value of this market. I think a lot of people latched onto that figure because I think that is does really represent a sizable commitment in this space.
Yeah, $1 billion, you're starting to talk real money.
Yeah, just starting to. So, Adam, what kind of questions did the analysts ask? We know, we're geeks and stuff like that, but these guys sometimes ask some really tough questions. I mean, what were they poking you guys with?
Oh, okay. You call me. I was actually not there in person. I have the audio file, which I'm still working my way through, so I can't answer the tough questions that he asked there. But often the type of things that they are asking about are things around our product direction, about just our partnerships and relationships, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Seem to be the big questions that we get.
So, Adam, what IBM is investing $1 billion into unified communications, and I have to ask myself, what's the tipping point been for IBM to all of a sudden say, hey, we're going to invest $1 billion in unified communications?
Well, it's really being driven by the demand we're seeing from our customers, and this is something that's been we've seen accelerating over the last few years, but certainly in the last year, where more and more people are looking at voice over IP rollouts and converting their back-end telephony system. And as long as they're moving that to IP, and it's looking a lot like the IP traffic they have on their data networks already, they're looking at this saying, well, why shouldn't I be able to see if someone's on the phone from my desktop or receive a call or place calls right from my desktop, or have my PC know where to send my phone calls rather than me having to tell the system, okay, I'm leaving the office, I want everything forwarded to my mobile phone until I get home, at which point I want everything sent to my home office. You know, I should just be able to do that for you automatically. And we're seeing I asked for a show of hands at our Lotusphere sessions, how many people in the room were, you know, looking at integrating telephony at the same time. And I would say between 2/3 and 3/4 of the hands in the room went up. And that was just, you know, I knew we had a lot of interest in this, but that really even surprised me at how much interest we saw there. And probably a year and a half ago, we went out to our customer council and we're asking them about telephony integration and telephony. And I think there were only a couple people in the room at the time who even knew who managed the telephony networks in their company, let alone had projects underway. And we asked them again just a couple months ago, a year later, and we had, again, almost every hand in the room go up saying not only did they know who these people were, but they had projects underway. So we've just really seen a huge acceleration in this year. And we think there's a lot that, as IBM, we can offer to help companies do this.
Okay, how much have we talked about telephony so far? Because I think that seems like that's also, you know, some big growing thing. There is some VoiceCon thing going on too, and walk us down the telephony path real quick here, Adam.
Sure. So VoiceCon is coming up. We're actually next week, and we're gonna have a pretty big presence there as well. Lotus General Manager Mike Rodin is gonna be keynoting at the VoiceCon show, and it's really interesting. Having been there last year, we're seeing it's more and more like Unified Communications Con more than the traditional VoiceCon. But basically, we're seeing companies look at this saying, you know, we want to be able to bring telephony capabilities to the desktop. We had a big company of ours, it was a major consulting firm, that was going through a IP telephony migration, so stuff that traditionally just kind of happens behind the scenes for people. But he looked at this and said, I don't want to just swap out one phone system for another. I want to get more value from this. And they view Lotus SameTime and the kind of integration we can offer on the desktop as how to do that. Because the type of capabilities we offer, you know, from an end user standpoint, it's things like being able to see if someone's on the phone or not right from their SameTime client or their Notes client. I'm going to probably talk about SameTime a lot here, but pretty much everything you can do in same time, if you have the right licenses, you'll be able to do from inside Notes as well. So just insert that as I go through this. But be able to see telephony presence, have a soft phone, which means I can place and receive phone calls just with my PC. So I'm sitting there in Starbucks on the afternoon, and someone calls my office line. I could pick it up there on my PC, and no one knows any different. In fact, one of the really key benefits is having a single phone number that I can give out and have the system be able to route calls to me wherever I am. And with the integration at the same time, we have a lot of information that the system will know by itself without you even having to set it. So, for example, it knows your geographic location. And so I can set a rule that says when I'm in my office, route calls to my office phone. When my same time location is set to home office, while I'm working from home, automatically route all calls to my home line instead of my office phone. Or maybe when I'm offline, it means I'm away from my PC, route all calls to my cell phone. So looking at how we can integrate it into the technology people are using already so the system can intelligently route phone calls so people can find you, you know, without the situation like we have today, which is I go to make a call, I call your office phone, I get your voicemail, and I end up going, okay, well, I'm going to leave a message here. Hi, it's Adam. I'm going to try you on your cell phone now. But in case I don't get you there, I'm leaving a message here. Call me back. And then I have to hang up and find your cell phone number and call your cell phone, at which point if I don't get you, I leave another voicemail message. Here you've got one number to call. You've actually got one voicemail system because it can pull the phone back. So if it tries your cell phone and you don't pick up, it can pull it back. So all your messages are stored in the single voicemail repository instead of having your messages spread out all over the place. You've got incoming call notifications. So again, you know, picture you're sitting there in a hotel room somewhere, and someone calls your phone number. I can see that call's coming in right from the desktop, and I can go and decide what to do with it. I can redirect it to my cell phone. I can send it to voicemail. I can pick it up on the soft phone, on the PC. You know, I can control what to do with it. Or I can even do things like see when someone's calling my office phone. I think this is a demo we showed at Lotusphere. It's 5 minutes to five. I'm about to walk out the door. Phone call comes in. I've got caller ID on the desktop. I can see who it is. And you know, I know I got to get to soccer practice. I know this is going to be a long phone call. Rather than picking it up on my office line and then 5 minutes later saying, no, what, can I call you back from my cell phone? I've got to get on the road or transferring the call over. You can just redirect that incoming call right to your cell phone. So when you have to leave in 5 minutes, you're ready to walk out the door. So a lot of stuff going on there to help out on the end user side. And then the other thing that we're doing with Same Time Unified Telephony is offering a middleware layer that can connect multiple back-end phone systems. And so this is something else that we've found is pretty prevalent out there, especially amongst larger companies, is they're running multiple phone systems. I think IBM has something like 60 different phone systems that we're running right now and are trying to standardize down. And it's something a lot of companies are going through. But even with all the migration going on, we find a lot of companies aren't standardizing down to a single phone system. And so what Same Time Unified Telephony will let them do is roll out a single application to the desktop, you know, one client for everyone in the company, one application to train people on, one application to manage and provide help desk support on, but still being able to connect to whatever phone system they're running in the background. So they don't need, you know, if every country, and this is a reality in a lot of companies, every country might be running their own phone system, each from a different vendor. So instead of having to roll out eight different soft phone clients onto the desktops and manage who has what and someone moves between countries, they now need to get a new phone client and learn a new system. It's all integrated into Same Time or Notes that they have on that they're used to using already, and it just connects to whatever back-end system they happen to be using.
You've blown my mind.
And so that's coming out in the second half of this year. We're going through the alpha and beta process now with a handful of customers as we look at that, refining it. But yeah, we'll be very excited when we have that in market later this year.
My wife is really going to start appreciating me more now, because I'm going to be taking phone calls. No, come on. I mean, you know, we talk about how tired we are, and we're just, you know, we've worked hard today. And, you know, a lot of us, including all of us, take work home, and probably as many of our listeners do. You know, we just don't work 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever anymore. And this just helps it even more, so we can take, you know, calls or redirect stuff, you know, on the off hours, you know. So it's really going to help my marriage.
Well, we're glad to help out with that.
You don't think so? You don't get yelled at by your spouses? Put that thing down, or you spend too much time on the computer.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah, I think I made it about 2 weeks with my BlackBerry before I got the throw it out the window threat if she found me sitting there at 9 o'clock at night.
No,
on the BlackBerry.
Why are you guys laughing at me in silence? Like, the truth hurts, doesn't it? All right. Wow. We have a ton of stuff we could talk about. But one thing I do want to talk about is the Bleed Yellow IM community that's quickly growing.
Oh, it's growing. Yeah. I don't even know if growing is the right word for it. That really blew me away when it was just a couple weeks ago. We had like 20 people on there. And I missed it at first that they even had an IM server out there. And I think Chris Wisenant or someone had blogged about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, they have IM out there? And so I had to go find him and say, what's the address? And then I blogged about it, and he did. And then just a couple of weeks ago, Nathan Freeman and I and a few others started blogging about it. And we're up to, like, I saw about 150, 160 people on there today. And it really is a who's who of the blogging community, certainly, and the folks really that at least I recognize as being really active in the Same Time community.
Actually, I'm getting a lot of IMs from people who I really don't even know, you know, probably through this podcast or some of the other stuff that, I don't know, it's kind of weird, you know. It's like they have my phone number, you know. But it is really great, and you can sign up at, what is it, bleedyellow.com. If you sign up for an account there, which is part of the Lotus Connections infrastructure that the folks from Lotus 911 put up, you could point your same time client to the server name of IM, that's I, the letter I and the letter M, as in instant messaging, .bleedyellow.com, enter in your email address and your password, you know, that you registered with on bleedyellow.com, and poof, you're on the this global Lotus Same Time community.
Yeah, it's just there. I think there are more and more IBMers are starting to sign on there as well. But it's really nice. I've had a number of chats with folks. You know, we're these long comment threads going back on the blogs, and you sometimes want to reach out to someone in real time and just go, "What's going on?" or catch up with them and. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to be able to do that. And I've seen a number of other blogs out there too, where just people in the community go, "Wow, you know, they had a problem and they were able to ping Nathan or someone else who they thought might have the answer," and where they might not have emailed them in the past or might not have wanted to take the time to do that, able to reach out in real time and get their answers.
Mm-hmm. You would have thought that someone else would have done this by now. You know, it's same time's been around a long time. IBM's had same time for a long time. You know, it would have been great if we had a community like 3 or 4 years ago, right?
So this is actually interesting. And we've had, for at least the last 2 years, we've had demo servers available. And we actually have a same time 8.1 out there now, as well as a same time 7.5.1 server out on our DemoNet environment where people could come and try it out. And especially over the past year, we've seen... You know, they run around the same rate as the Bleed Yellow server. It's about 100 to 200 people online at any given time, on these demo servers. But it never, and I blogged about it once or twice, but I think it's the difference between having something come out of the community and having something from us as a vendor put it out there. And these, I know we were using, our sales teams were using these a lot with our customers to say, go download the client and you can chat with us. And there are definitely a lot of IBMers using those, our demo servers, because they use it as a way of communicating with their customers. But it's still different than having something that kind of formed out of the community as a resource. I've actually been reading a bunch of stuff out of the South by Southwest conference that's going on over the past week, and people talking about this and, you know, social marketing and how you get people on it. And there have been a number of just reading about some of the summaries that people are posting about these. There's a big difference in between having a company go out and try to start a discussion and having discussions started by people in the community themselves. And I think that's what you're seeing here. And that's why I think it's so great that Lotus 911 has gone and then set up the Bleed Yellow connection server and making the same time, having the same time server open there so people can use it. And there's something that's different about community founded efforts rather than company-sponsored efforts.
Wouldn't know anything about it.
well, yeah, and you know, if nothing else, I think the Bleed Yellow community is it's a fun community, I guess. I'd kind of hesitate saying that because that sort of implies that IBM is not a fun company. It's this big stone
shape. Are you saying that stdemo4.dfw.ibm.com isn't as fun as im.bleedyellow.com?
Somebody probably is.
Yeah, well, and frankly, just the fact that, you know, on the one hand, you could have an IBM sales rep say, well, hey, why don't you come on here and chat with me and a couple of other sales reps online versus, hey, get on this Bleed Yellow site and talk to all these, you know, bloggers and authors and random people who are really interested in notes and who you've probably heard of before.
Yeah, so it's a very good point too.
Yeah. So, which again, I, you know, not to take anything away from IBM and the greenhouse and some of the efforts like that, but you know, I think that's one of the big things that the Bleed Yellow bit has to offer is just the you know, kind of the fun and interesting aspect. Mm-hmm. So you're not just kicking the tires; you're actually making connections, right?
That's right.
All right, Adam, you know, we did cover a lot of stuff today, and I think some of the stuff we have left on our list, let's save it for another show. Is that okay with you?
Yep, that's fine with me.
All right. Julian, do you have any parting questions for our guest, Mr. Gartenberg?
Mr. Gartenberg, you're fired. You're so fired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, tell us about that, Adam. That's a good segue out, Julian.
Oh, the You Are So Fired video. Yeah, this is something we put together. It's in the interest of trying to spread the word about our unified communications strategy and some of the key differentiators between us and others in this market. As a fun little video. Hopefully, we found it fun. Hopefully, others find it fun as well. It's out there on YouTube now. That kind of paints a little scenario of what happens when you mistake our unified communications for someone else's, namely that you don't have to go and rip and replace and pull out everything that you have today in order to take advantage of unified communications. So encourage people to go check that out. I've linked to it from my blog. Ed's posted there, and they posted it there as well. Or you can go, I don't know what you have to search for to have it come up on YouTube, but it's primarily aimed at telephony managers and folks that might know what unified communications is, but might need to learn a little bit more about IBM's specific role here and how we're approaching this market. But we've seen, I think other people have found it entertaining as well.
That bald guy was freaky.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm just like looking
at
my little
mirror.
That's a good
way to quote, right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a great outro there, Julian. So,
Actually, you know what? If you could just edit it and cut it off right at that bald guy was freaky, just end it right there. No?
You want me to?
We'll see.
Nah, we'll just keep this part in too. You know, kind of like Lotus. No, I won't. I'll put that in there. All right, Adam. Thank you very much for appearing on episode 80 of the Taking Notes podcast for Wednesday, March 12th. 2008. Hopefully, we'll get you back sooner to cover those other items. And that's it. Thanks again.
I'm glad to do it. Take care.
Julian?
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Good to talk to you guys, too. I was, you know, I didn't want to jump in there because then we're all talking at the same time, and I thought that would just be confusing.
You're so polite. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.